We are a light. Hallelujah. Is my gut? No. We need some lights. Hallelujah. And there was light. Hallelujah. Y'all ain't heard that one before, have you? Praise God. Amen. Well, I hope that you are getting something out of this prayer series and it is taking you higher in your commitment to prayer and understanding the importance of prayer. And we are the ones. His voice in the earth today, the body of Christ. He needs a body here on the earth whereby he can express his will, his desire, his heart through. Hallelujah. And we know that God's heart and his greatest desire is what people, to see them accept and receive everything that he's already provided, bought, died for. Eternal life through the great plan of redemption, healing, health for their physical body, peace for their minds, righteousness for their spirit.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And God wants this for everybody.
Yes, he does.
But not everybody is has accepted or received it, receptive to it. But God is looking for a people that will stand in the gap and pray. And we started out with united corporate prayer and how it is the church's responsibility to pray for the lost, pray for the backsliders, pray for the babies in Christ.
Yes.
You know the church will be the one held responsible. Whether those babies backslide or they continue to grow and move forward in their walk and God's plan for their life. Yeah. He holds the church responsible. And so in United Corporate Prayer, we found out that it's everybody, all of us assembling together and at the same time, in the same place, lifting our voices together out loud about the same thing and releasing our faith and trusting the Holy Spirit to lead us, because when it comes to united corporate prayer, what is the key? Unity. Being together in one accord, in one heart, one mind, just like in the book of Acts when the church prayed and they was coming, much persecution was coming against them. But they didn't slack off, they didn't back off. Instead, they assembled together and asked God for greater boldness. Woo, I love it. Greater boldness, Lord. Grant to us, your servants, that we may speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hands to heal. Signs, wonders, and miracles being wrought and done through your name. So they recognized the time that it was, what they needed to be doing. They were not threatened by all of the persecution going on around them, against them, to try to stop them and shut them down. No, they got louder. They assembled even more so. Come on now. What does it tell us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25? Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but even more so as the day approaches. What day? The day that Jesus is going to return for his church and rapture us out of here. Hey, so we need to be about our Father's business. We need to be occupying till the Father comes. That means to be about his business. And we know his business is, one of his businesses is prayer. Hallelujah. So that we can lay the track for which the rest of the ministry in this church runs on. Hallelujah. It helps each ministry here to be successful and productive and fruitful. Because we want to produce much fruit for the kingdom of God, right? Lasting fruit, not temporary fruit. No, we want lasting fruit. Hallelujah. And so everybody that comes out to prayer here, whether it's a church-wide prayer, pre-service prayer, I want you to stand up. You participate in prayer. praise God for these that come out to prayer. We thank God for them. And we're just believing together that it is going to increase and grow and get even more. More, more, more. Hallelujah. But we want to thank them for their commitment every week for praying, whether it's Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday. Praise God. Thank God for you. Amen.
Yes.
So in United Corporate Prayer, we found out that it's prayer can work together like fingers on a hand. It can be more than one prayer involved. Like usually in United Corporate Prayer, there can be the prayer of intercession. And we started looking at the prayer of intercession. And with that, a lot of times, the prayer of supplication works really close with intercession because it's strong, it's heartfelt, it's sincere prayer, fervent prayer. And that's what the prayer of supplication is. And then when you bring it along the side of intercession, the prayer of intercession, you have that standing in the gap, making up the hedge, whether it's for a person, a nation, a people group. But God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, just like Abraham did Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. Moses did it with the children of Israel many times. And so God is looking for people that will stand in the gap. Like I said, there are plenty of people that will hear the word of God and they will respond, whether it's salvation, coming back to God. But there are others out here in the world today that unless somebody is taking the time to pray and intercede and give themselves to prayer, they will never come to Christ, never come back to Christ, be healed. We talked about last week when with the prayer of intercession, standing in the gap, making up the hedge, praying on behalf of another, prayer to hold back judgment. Because these individuals that are living in sin and have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, unknowing to them that their sinful lifestyle brings about the judgment of God upon them because He judges sin. God loves them and mercy always triumphs over judgment, and we need to recognize and know that when it comes to our Father God, that He's not up there with a big switch waiting for them to content. No. He's merciful. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's kind. He loves them. And He's willing to wait to give them every opportunity to make a choice and a decision to choose Him. And so our prayers help create that atmosphere for people to respond. It does not override a person's will. God will never override a person's will. Never, never, never. It doesn't happen like that. Everybody has the free will to choose on their own. And God is just and fair and right. And He wants everybody to choose Him because they want to choose Him, not because somebody made them choose Him. Because they want Him. And so I'm just going to review a couple of things real quick here. I shared last week about something that Brother Hagin shared when it comes to the art of intercession or the prayer of intercession. He said the art of intercession or the prayer of intercession can be a lost art among us. We will never really have the depth of the move of the Spirit of God unless we have this kind of praying. We will never really have the depth of the move of the Spirit of God unless we have this praying. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not in it for just a little trickle.
That's very good. All right.
I'm in it to go all out, to see God's highest, His best, His grandest, the mightiest outpouring. I mean, come on, we're in the time when He's what? He's continuing, which since He started back in the book of Acts, pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, on sons and daughters prophesying, old men dreaming dreams, young men having visions, pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Signs and wonders in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Come on now. Hallelujah. He's going to wind this thing up with a big, big, big thing. It ain't going to be a small thing. It's going to be a big thing, because people are going to know without a shadow of a doubt that He is God, He is Lord, and there is no other. They're going to be without excuse, because He loves them. And so I also shared what Brother Hagin said. He said, the art of intercession can be a lost art among us if we don't teach it to the next generation. It seems that this next generation knows very little about this kind of depth of prayer. And so when it comes to the prayer of intercession, it is the greatest act of love on behalf of another. Intercession is birthed out of an intimate, loving relationship with your heavenly Father. It's walking close with your heavenly Father, getting to know His heart, His heartbeat, what His desires are, what He hates, what He loves. There are things that God hates. He hates sin because it separates people from Him. He hates sickness and disease because it destroys the creation that He made and provided for their healing. To intercede effectively, we must know and understand, and I had shared this last week, the Father's love for humanity, because the greater the understanding that we have of the Father's love for people and for mankind, the greater that you will avail yourself when the Spirit of God prompts you or nudges or you have some little tugs in your heart. Remember what I shared about Brother Hagin, that he kept having the sensation of being thrown through a windshield. And he kept pushing it aside and pushing it aside. He never stopped and really gave himself unto prayer with that sensation he kept having of being thrown through a windshield. And so he gets a phone call from his family that they told him that his niece was thrown through the windshield of a car and she was killed. And he knew that it was the Holy Spirit trying to warn him ahead of time to pray to stop that so that it wouldn't happen. And so the love that the Father has, we know that according to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, God's love is an everlasting love. His love for us is unconditional. It's not based on what we have done, haven't done, should have done, could have done. It's all based on what Jesus has done. That great love that He was willing to what? Sacrifice and give His life for us. He came and identified with us on this earth so that He could give us His life in exchange, and He could take the old life and do away with that and give us a brand new life. How great. I mean, you can't. Oh my goodness. People that hate their lives and they're so dissatisfied with their life, if they would come to Jesus, He would give them a brand new life. I have witnessed to people that hated their life. They hated everything about them. I said, it's real simple. I said, Jesus came to give you a brand new life.
Yes.
He can take that old life, get rid of it, and give you a brand new heart with a brand new start. And it's just so, it's nothing more rewarding than seeing somebody accept and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Nothing no more rewarding. I mean, it just, it blesses me because I know that they have shunned hell and made heaven their home. And they've received God's life, His nature, and His ability now. And so that great love that the Father has for all humanity, it has been, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so we are able to love people through the same love with which Jesus loved us. We're able to love others with that great love. Brother Hagin made this statement when it came to the prayer of intercession. He said, the prayer of intercession is one of the most effective ways to bind and break the power of the devil off of people. It is awesome. So we said, what? The prayer of intercession is the greatest act of love because you are willing to lay down your life, give up your time, and spend it for somebody else. Could be in a life and death situation, could be through sickness and disease that they're dealing with, but you're willing to lay down your life and give up your time to pray for them. That's a lot. So this great love with which the Father loved us and we have it poured in our hearts, the love of God, is the basis for all Christian activity. But an ingredient out of that great love that we have, that's been given us, is compassion. Compassion is an ingredient of that divine love, of the Father's love. And through love and compassion, we identify or are capable of identifying with those with whom we pray. And I had shared last week, a person that gives themselves to prayer, like I said, some people are more given to prayer than others. But the more that you avail yourself and give yourself to prayer, the Father is able to entrust you with His heart, knowing that it becomes confidential between you and Him, and you're not out here blabbing your mouth and talking about what He showed you or revealed to you about so-and-so or certain. No. It's that confidentiality that He knows He can trust you to pray. And when it comes to the prayer of intercession, you persevere, you stay at it. It's not just a one-time asking and it's done, like the prayer of faith or the prayer of agreement. No, it's a continual staying at it, giving yourself to it over and over again, persevering in it until you reach, you can sense a burden leave, a prayer burden or that assignment or that prayer unction lift. You might begin to laugh. You might begin to sing in the Spirit, but it begins to lift off of you. And so what you have done is you've prayed it through and done exactly what you were supposed to do, or prayed it in, but you've taken the time to persevere and stay at it. This prayer, it's continual. You stay at it. And this intercession, it might be for a few moments. It might be a day. I've had assignments that's been like for our nation. And you just stay at it, praying for the nation, just having a burden for our nation. So I began to share also last week about in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 26 and 27, how this Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses and our infirmities inabilities to produce results in prayer, that word help, if we found it last week, that he takes hold against together with. The Holy Spirit who resides and lives in us, he takes hold together with us against that which is not the will of God. And so when it comes to helping, it's the Holy Spirit in us taking hold against those infirmities. And we broke the word infirmities down into three categories. We said it was, number one, ignorance, a not knowing what God's word or will is. So the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against that ignorance, against that not knowing, so that we can become knowledgeable. We found out the Pauline prayers or the Spirit-led inspired prayers that you can pray over to Ephesians chapter 1 or Ephesians chapter 3 or Colossians chapter 1. We found out the second was another infirmity was the dullness of perception. Sometimes people are stuck on, they can't understand there's something wrong in their thinking and their understanding pertaining to something pertaining to the Lord and his word. And so the Holy Spirit takes hold with us together against that dullness or that sluggishness to perceive and understand a certain thing, the way God wants us to know it and understand it. And then we said the third type of infirmity is frailty, a feebleness of body, sickness. And that the Holy Spirit takes hold together with us against that sickness, whether it's in our own bodies or you're standing in the gap for somebody else who's dealing with sickness or disease in their bodies. And like I had shared last week, I had read an excerpt from Brother Hagin in his book, The Art of Intercession, where he says that those that give themselves to prayer a whole lot, that you can come to the place that when it comes to sickness and disease, that you can actually feel that you have that same sickness and disease on you. But it's actually not on you. It's you're standing in the gap for that individual. It might feel like you're sick, like they're sick. If they're dealing with something with their lungs, you might have shortness of breath. If they're dealing with a pain in their back, you might have a pain in your back. But it's you've prayed so much and built that relationship between the Father that you're able to discern and know the difference whether it's an attack against your own body or it's you standing in the gap for somebody else that's dealing with sickness and disease. You're able to discern the difference. This comes through much praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. This is not just a thing to be taken lightly. This is not something you work up, you stir up, you use the Spirit. No, it's not us using the Spirit. It's us allowing the Holy Spirit to use us. That we're yielding and giving ourselves willingly. See, all this plays and it plays a big part in the Father entrusting you with these things. Because remember, he knows our hearts. He knows why we do what we are doing. Is it the right heart motive behind what we're doing? Is it to be seen? Is it to be getting attention? No, it should be because we're giving ourselves unto the Father through the Holy Spirit working through us for those, that individual or that people group or a nation. When you begin to see sickness and disease the way God sees it, then there is a hatred and a righteous indignation that's stirred up in your heart and your spirit towards that. And when you hear about others, that the enemy is attacking them with these things, Yeah, there's a righteous indignation that comes by the Spirit of God against that, because it's not God's will that people die with this stuff prematurely. When He's promised them, all of us, a long life. A long life will He satisfy us and show us His salvation, Psalms 91:16. And so we started looking at the Holy Spirit in those three things, and I want to go a little bit further of another way that the Holy Spirit helps us when it comes to the prayer of intercession. And it's called the Holy Spirit helping us in groaning. This is a part of the prayer of intercession. What do you mean, Pastor Debbie, groaning? It can be a yearning, a longing, agonizing longings which never find words. Sighs too deep for words. Wordless or inarticulate battle cries of deep emotion. Now remember, this groaning comes only by and the will by the Spirit of God. This is not something that you do on your own. Let me tell you, it comes by the Spirit of God. And just some examples in my life, Pastor Chris and I have been on the road, riding down the road, and we'll go through a particular area. I have had the Spirit of the Lord come on me, and the travail or the groanings that begins to come out of my innermost being for that particular area of just riding through it in a vehicle. You recognize that there's a darkness in that area, and the Spirit of God is wanting to deal with that darkness and push it out so the people can see light and accept Jesus Christ. And so this groaning can take place through you. Let's see if we can remember Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. He groaned in the spirit. John chapter 11, verse 33 and verse 38. Jesus groaned. And that groaning that He had for Lazarus, it was a resurrection groaning to raise Lazarus up out of that death. There have been times when I have been on the phone, some family members calling. They're saying, my loved one is dying. They are on death's bed. They're in the hospital. They can't do any more for them. And the moment that they said that, a spirit, the Holy Spirit, taking hold together with me, the groanings and the travail for life for that individual, that they not die. So it could be in life and death situations, but it's not something I ask for or something I try to conjure up, work up. It's just being available. Like I said, I have been in stores before, and a little cart passed in front of me with little children in it, and had to leave the store and go sit in my husband's truck to pray for those children. This is the intercession for those little children. We don't know. You may not know it, what you're praying for, but you're available to pray. And just know that you're making tremendous power available for them. Where it tells us in James chapter 5 in verse 16, the B part of it, the tremendous heartfelt prayer of a righteous man or woman makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. And so these different instances or situations, I didn't ask for them. It's just being available and having that intimate, loving relationship with the Father where He knows He can trust you. You've built that trust between one another. And so in verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I'm going to read it real quick. It says, likewise, or in the same manner, the Spirit helps us by groaning The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech. This is your regular speech. And then verse 27, it says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, all of creation is groaning and travailing in pain. The ultimate consciousness of pain resides in God because of his perfect love for humanity. And then through our fellowship with God, that intimate fellowship we have with him, we are brought into this fellowship with the suffering creation, because we are united to God through Jesus Christ. And this is when we can encounter and experience the suffering that humanity is going through and dealing with. Why? Because God wants them free. So the Holy Spirit interprets to us God's consciousness of suffering in and for humanity. And he makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered in our known articulate speech, which is our regular speech, but these groanings or sighs or yearnings or longings come from deep within your spirit, the core of your being, and to be effective, they must escape your lips. In other words, they must be verbalized. Okay, y'all are with me? The New English Bible translates it as, through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. The Phillips translation calls them agonizing longings which never find words. And that's so true. It's not a word. There is a groaning that comes out of the core of your being with this type of prayer, the prayer of intercession. These groanings, longings, yearnings are according to the will of God, and they express his care for us, his love and his care for us. Although we cannot understand these groanings, they are intelligible to God. He always understands them and he always responds to them. Get that? He always responds to them. And they're intelligible to him, whether you understand it or not. So, so important. God always responds in this type of prayer. Sometimes you might be praying, spending time with God in prayer, just sitting at his feet. You know, God is looking for an ear to hear, a heart to obey, and a mouth to pray. I'm going to say that again. God is looking for an ear to hear, the ear of your heart, an ear to hear, a heart to obey, and a mouth to pray. When we, oh, thank you, Lord. When you are taking the time to intercede and give yourself to prayer, You are shifting destinies. You are redirecting storms. I know this testimony, and we've even had it, Pastor Chris and I. Pastor Chris has woke me up in the middle of the night. He says, we need to get up now, and we need to pray. So we both get up out of bed. We're praying in tongues, and it's this horrible storm taking place. He goes, it ain't good. I got this sense right here. So we just pray and pray, and we pray it through. Well, the next day, we're walking out in our neighborhood. A tornado come right down the road, swiped off some trees that were like this big around and just threw them around like little toothpicks. But it never touched our home. So you don't realize sometimes you can be redirecting storms, although that in that case, he did know what we were praying against and working together with the Holy Spirit. But redirecting storms, stopping suicides. Do you know the percentage of people that are taking their lives? It's horrible. And especially in this younger generation. Yeah. The devil is targeting the young generation. He wants to stop the revival that God wants to break out and do and is already doing through this younger generation. It's happening. But suicides. People taking their lives, thinking that if they escape this life, it's better. Not knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There is no life outside of Him. So you're shifting destinies, you're redirecting storms, you're stopping suicides. You just don't know. But the Father does know, and He's willing and wanting to share that concern, that care with somebody that's willing to give themselves for prayer. You're opening heavenly doors. You're partnering with angels. Remember what it tells us in Psalms 103, verse 20? That the angels hearken to the voice of the Word of God. They're waiting for somebody to verbalize what God's Word says, and it activates, we saw it in the book of Acts, it activates the supernatural on our behalf or their behalf. Of people activates the angels. So you're partnering with angels. You are a warrior of the unseen war. You are bringing forth divine intervention in a lot of cases. You are a midnight watchman who sees before the world wakes. You know, on the Roman timetable, they had four watches. The first watch was from 3 to 6. The second watch was 6 to 9. The third watch was 9 to 12. And then the fourth watch, three to six, 12 to 3, that's it, I got it wrong. The fourth watch is 3 a.m. in the morning till 6 a.m. The third watch was from midnight to 3 a.m. And then from 9 to midnight was the second. And then the first was 6 to 9. Sorry, y'all. I'm getting. Anyway, the third watch, they were very aware of the spirit realm and witches, covens, all of the demonic activity and rituals takes place in the third watch from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. But God has his people on the fourth watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. to stop with the 12 o'clock midnight to the 3 a.m. was trying to bring about in the earth. The fourth watch is when Jesus came to his disciples walking on the water, and what did he brought them deliverance because they were dealing with a bad storm. The fourth watch is God has set it up that the church jumps right in there and is able to stop and divert that which the enemy tried to establish in the third watch. So God is looking for midnight watchmen who are willing to give themselves to prayer. He's looking for an ear to hear, a heart to obey, and a mouth to pray. And hallelujah. We will stop here tonight. Praise God. I got in what I wanted to get in. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I trust and I'm believing that the Spirit of God, the whole time you're sitting here listening, that the Holy Spirit is imparting. That he's doing a work in your heart. That he's doing a work in your heart so that you're more willing to give of yourself. You're willing to lose your sleep. Hey, sometimes it's worth you losing your sleep when it comes to the things of God. But you have to get to that place. Nobody can make you, like I said. It comes through much praying in the spirit, praying in other tongues, giving yourself to prayer, understanding what it means, what's happening. And so I'm trusting that this is bringing more enlightenment to you concerning the prayer of intercession and how God wants to use us in this prayer. Hallelujah. So I was sharing tonight that how the Holy Spirit is our helper when it comes to prayer and how he works so closely with us. And you might be in here tonight, and yes, you're born again, you know Jesus.